Blog Talk Radio.
It's the morning show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so.
think I want to hit the moon.
From Dallas, Texas. I'd say beautiful, beautiful day. It's the 19th, and we had a few technical difficulties, and we've overcome that. I tell you one thing about doing this, you can start as early as you want. And the days I start extremely early are the days that I encounter some difficulties. But you know what? It is God's will this morning that we are live on the air. And we hope you enjoy the show this morning. As always, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have iMessenger magazine that you can find online, and that's biweekly, My iMessenger. And also we have Texas Metro News and the Garland Journal, which are hard publications that we have locally. But you can also find those online as well. It is a beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. So much is going on in the world, and we just want to just kind of go through some things. Again, it's open mic. Just spread the word, 646-200-0459. It's Black History Month, and we'll talk about some things. Had the honor of emceeing a couple of programs this week. Just busy, busy, busy. It is February, and, you know, from February, they're going to run a brother to death. But that's what it's all about. If I can enlighten someone on some of the history that we need to know and not history that we've learned. And what's so interesting when you're in mixed congregations, some of the things that you bring up is amazing. The look on their faces when you're out there giving the spills on Daniel L. Williams, especially in the medical facility. And then when they go look it up and say, I had no idea. Well, yeah, it's the way things were taught in school and things that were, you know, they say if you want to keep it from us, you hide it in a book. Well, in this case, the book was there, but they kept the book from us. And a lot of people were left out. So, again, American history books, not to say that they're false. They just don't have a lot of the other details that made the fabric. And enhance the fabric of this country. And that's understandable during those times. So it's been something that's been going on and going on. And so they carried their traditions and the lack of traditions that others may have contributed to the common history. So, again, giving you a real history on Black History Month. I'm just so glad that Carter G. Woodson got this thing together, started as Negro History Week. And again, the question has always been over why February? And it's commemorating the birthdays of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. And please make sure your kids know this. All your kids be teaching. It's a good time for this month for you to get everything out. And let your class know. Again, without Black history, there is no history, no complete history. And there are other ethnic groups that have made contributions. And I think that in this world, especially in today's world, the way things are going, people will spend their hands of time backwards in order to accomplish everything they want to do. But let's be realistic about it. Let's get the real truth out. And today, I'll make sure I'll go and create our timeline. Remember, in future shows, I will continue to give you a little tidbit of Black history as we go. And I want you to hold me up to it. Again, I want you to leave the program smarter than what you came. If not smarter, provide you with more additional information to build upon. That's what it's all about. But again, a beautiful day. 80 degrees on yesterday, 70, 80 degrees. Today a little cooler, but very comfortable, very comfortable. And the allergies are going. You can hear it in my voice a little bit, and I apologize. But again, I've been running like a Hebrew soldier this whole month of February. And sometimes, you know, we laugh again about how short the month is. As hard as I've been working, I'm glad it's only 27 days. Y'all been keeping up? 27 days. Because I had one day, and I say 27 total, you know it's 28 days. But the thing is, one day, I took one day out of this whole month that I shut down, didn't do anything. So 27 days will be running in the future of March, April, May. You know what? I got a lifetime to rest. So I'm going to continue to, everybody say preach. It's not even preach. Present ideals and things to other people. And I thank you so much for just being a part. But again, welcome to Andrew's World. Some technical difficulties, but you know, we made it, and we're going to make this thing happen. Happy Black History Month, African-American History Month, you name it, Negro History Month. We go through a lot of changes over the years, but you know, we got it straight. It's all about that tan that God gave us, and we need to utilize it and embrace the history that we know. Before, you know, a little bit later, I'm going to get into that Washington stuff. Number 45 is just showing out, people quitting it. Enough said, and we'll get on that, but, you know, I'm not going to let it steal our thunder this morning. In 1619, okay, the first slaves arrived in Virginia. Now, you know, when the slave trade from West Africa through the Caribbean, and, you know, some of it, you look at Brazil and Rio and all those areas, a lot of people with dark skin. Part of the trade, people, whether they jumped out of the boat or made a little stop, that's how you have those folks. We have some African descendants in South America. Then along the way, you look at the Caribbean folks. That's how we get that rich color there, those islands. And then they came up on the east coast of Virginia and infiltrated throughout the South. You know, we always talk about 40 acres and a mule, but as African Americans or blacks at that particular time, if you look all the way from the north border of Florida, South Georgia, there were a lot of blacks in that area that got a lot of land. And my family started like in the area called Brunswick. If you look on your map, it's on the Atlantic side of Georgia, all the way up to Savannah. That's where my family originated. My grandmother, great-grandmother, on my grandmother's side. On my grandfather's side, his family came from South Carolina. They owned a lot of property there in Hilton Head. That eminent domain took some areas, but they were able to profit some of their land where they were given during their time in the 1800s. And now we know Myrtle Beach, all that. All that was inhabited by blacks all the way on the coast. The mindset is that if we had to get rid of the blacks at that time, we'll run them because they can't swim. Well, you know, times have changed. We can't swim. We're winning Olympic medals and all of that. But during that time, a lot of coastal towns, you know, they followed the shoreline in their travels. And you have to understand the plight of blacks. You know, we worked on the East Coast, and then we moved westward. And then those who tried to free themselves joined the Underground Railroad and worked their way up to Cincinnati, Ohio. Again, I tell you, there are a lot of black museums, African-American museums. You have to go. Learn your history, folks. Learn your history. That is so vital. Because, again, I said 1,000 times, how can you move forward when you don't know where you've been? Very essential. We have to get that accomplished. We got to make it happen. Again, Andrew Wiggum live from Dallas. Suffering. But you know what? We're going to make it. And when I say suffering, these allergies, didn't even know I had allergies as I moved. I had a few as a kid, but I tell you, this wasn't in Dallas or something else. And, you know what? It's all only temporary, but you know, the governor's busy, but we're going to continue to roll. So in 1619, we arrive. In 1746, Lucy Terry, enslaved person, in 1746, becomes the earliest known black American poet when she writes the last American Indian attack on her village in Deerfield, Massachusetts. Her poem, Bar Fight, not published until 1855. So Lucy Terry was trying to tell the story, and we've always told the story. 1773, Phyllis Wheatley. She right here in Dallas and other places, a lot of people don't know who Phyllis Wheatley was. They could say they attended to school, but she was a poet. Even at FAMU, we have a dormitory, Phyllis Wheatley, or Wheatley Hall, and they talked about a lot of the history of each building or that we had on campus, whether it was Nathan B. Young, Samson Hall, Paddyfoot, after a general that worked there at the General Paddyfoot that worked with the ROTC there in Tallahassee. John Robert Lee. All these buildings were named after fine people. Perry Hall, a frat brother who was a university president. You know, places you've been, if you've been afforded the opportunity to go to a university, especially a black school, should I say a historically black college and university, as we were taught, there's a lot of history. If you go down to Prairie View, and I would love to talk with someone from Prairie View to see if they know the history of their buildings. You know, oftentimes we go and we enjoy, we get the culture that everyone talks about. But I tell you one thing, when I went to school, I had to come out with something. That's how it was. Because I was not going back to my hometown to face my parents without getting my degree. Yeah, I had a good time, I had a great time. But I had my priorities straight where on Fridays I didn't do any studying, but Saturday morning you better bet, you could bet your last dollar. I got up, studied most of the day, enjoyed the festivities Saturday night, got up Sunday, did a little study and went to Sunday school. I probably went to Sunday school more in college than I've done as an adult. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I was religiously at church all the time as a college student because I knew at that time that I could not do it all by myself. And that's why I try to instill in a lot of these kids today. You've got to do what you have to do when you're there. Take care of your business. Nothing wrong with a little prayer. I had a roommate one time used to pray all the time about his tests and then do well. And he was like, well, God is not allowing me to do well. I said, well, God will help you. Excuse me, if you study, and I would ask him, did you study? No. Well, how can God help us if we're not preparing ourselves? If you make one step, he'll make two. That's what I was always taught, and that's what I believe, that you have to have your preparation. You have your preparation to move forward. And that's what we need as a people, prepare. Because times are getting hard. Number 45 doing his thing. And, you know, the way he's captivating people, the mindset. I meet people every week thinking that's good. They talk about immigration, and I don't want to get into this part, but they talk about immigration. You know, it's a known fact that America, as we've known it, was inhabited by American Indians. When Columbus discovered where they lived, there were American Indians. And then we came in, everybody, whether it's by choice, okay, or force. And as African Americans, we were forced over. So if you say get rid of immigrants, and I know they're primarily looking at illegal immigrants, but they're you know, in all cultures, what would that do with the fabric of this country? Some of the big businesses are kind of shaking in their boots a little bit because they have a lot of illegal immigrants that are making them a lot of money, and they're paying them enough, and their resources are going back to their native land. I tell you, it'd probably be very nice to own a Western Union. On Fridays, it's unbelievable, the lines that you see. But something needs to be done. Maybe, okay, what do we do to get you naturalized? What do we have to do? Because you need to pay taxes. If you pay your taxes and other things, you'll make a great contribution to society, not by just working, but making sure that our debt is down. There's so many things that we can look at from that standpoint. So that's going to be interesting. They're making a great push. One of the largest U.S. Immigrants installation as far as the courts and everything is here in Dallas. A lot of people are trafficking people, Hispanics from Mexico, whether they, I mean, in trucks, trains, whatever they are, people are paying money, knowing that there's a risk that they may not even make it. But they're willing to take the opportunity, the chance to come over and leave Mexico. The same could be said for other countries. They're doing everything they can to get over here so they don't have to fight within their own country. They're looking for the land of milk and honey, what's always been for this great country. But again, Phyllis Wheatley, learn your history, folks. And then 1787, we look at slavery was made illegal in the Northwest Territory. The U.S. Constitution stated that Congress may not ban slave trade until 1808. So all this is going on, slave trade, doing the work, clearing the fields. And a lot of people say that we don't belong. We helped build this country. We helped build this country. Then in 1793, Eli Whitney, his invention of the cotton gin, greatly increased the demand for slave labor. Pick the cotton, take the seeds out. Eli Whitney came up with the cotton gin. If you had a runaway slave in 1793, they were given a $100 reward. Ooh, $100 all the way up, all the way through term, $100, which was a lot of money. The federal fugitive slave law is an act providing the return of slaves who have escaped and crossed state lines. So again, no driver's license, you don't know what they're telling you. You know, it was some hard times, and that's why my hat is off for our foremothers and forefathers for what they endured so that we can enjoy the things that we are enjoying today. Then in the 1800s, Gabriel Pastor Prosser, enslaved African-American blacksmith, organizes a slave revolt intending to march on Richmond, Virginia. The conspiracy is uncovered, and Prosser and a number of the rebels are hung. Virginia's laws are consequently tightened. Then in 1808, Congress bans the importation of slaves. They stopped the trade. Didn't want any more ships coming in. But, you know, they always, and maybe is that how they came up with the word black market? So we want to see what that's all about, the black market. Again, welcome to Andrew's World. It's about 51 minutes after the hour as we embark on this beautiful, beautiful 19th day of February in the year of our Lord 2017. I tell you, what a beautiful day. Anytime I can give the history, I will. So we'll take you back. We can do a lot, talk about a lot, but this is it doesn't get any better than this. So we want you to sit back, get your pen, get your pencil, whatever you got to do, because we're going to give you some things. I'm going to even give you some homework. Give you some homework to do. And then we may have a couple of surprises. Some people from Utah may call in and be a part, see if they got something to say. Okay. So much to talk about. We're in the 1800s. We bring coming forward. Nat Turner, 1831, enslaved African American preacher, leads the most significant slave uprising in American history. He and his band of followers launch a short, bloody rebellion in Southampton County in Virginia. The militia quarrels or rebellion, and Turner is eventually hung. As a consequence, Virginia institutes much stricter slave laws. Remember, that's where we came in Virginia. And there's a movie out, if you get a chance to see it, Nat Turner. Came out with great promise. A few things happened and didn't get the level that they wanted. But it's the story that I'm interested in you learning about Nat Turner. And then also, Wiley College, a historically black college here in the great state of Texas, in Marshall, Texas, they have a beautiful a cappella piece that was used. And Nate came down and recorded them in their studios. Now, remember, Nate Parker, who is playing Nat Turner, also played in The Great Debaters that featured Wiley College along with Denzel Washington, The Great Debaters. Same school, so he got an opportunity when he was filming to hear them, and he came back and paid homage to them by allowing them to do a score, be part of the score, for that movie. So if you get a chance to see that turn, I think it's on DVD. You know, go out and buy and support this brother who put up his money and got donations to tell our story, the great story about Nat Turner. Folks, it's a lot out there. We need to really get on it. We're so behind. Then in 1846, Frederick Douglass. And, you know, Frederick Douglass always known for the big hair combed backwards, a style that we still use. We need to make sure that we continue that. You know, Frederick Douglass started a newspaper so that we could get some information out. Again, providing information. At this time, we're learning secretly how to read, how to write. The establishment of a lot of churches began. Then in 1849, Harriet Tubman, she escapes from slavery and becomes one of the first and the most effective celebrated leaders of the Underground Railroad. You know, she couldn't do it by herself. There was always a team, but she gets most of the credit for the Underground Railroad. Again, I mentioned it time and time again. Go to Cincinnati and check out the museum that features Harriet Tubman. Then in 1850, the continuing debate whether territory gained in the Mexican War should be open to slavery had decided the compromise of 1850. California is admitted as a free state. Utah and New Mexico territories are left to be decided by popular sovereignty. And the slave trade in Washington, D.C. is prohibited. It also established a much stricter fugitive law, state law, slave law, than the original pass that was occurring in 1793. So, again, during this time, folks, we were going west. We were getting more properties. Of course, you know, with the railroad, I'm sure we laid plenty of railroad ties, put the steel down so that we could make progress towards the west. And I'm sure brothers were right in the forefront of making a difference. I think of a movie, it was kind of joking, of course, Blazing Saddles. They had the brothers putting down the tracks, working their way west. You know, it might have been a comedy movie, but there were a lot of truth in that particular phase that we observed. And again, folks, we have made so many contributions. And don't forget where you, don't be proud of who you are. Because I'm sure some people there have more control over their ethnicity and, you know, their bank accounts and things of that nature, they would. But you know what? We don't. Be proud of who you are. You're unique in your own way. Everyone has their role in this society. And until we start meeting at the table, having dialogue, trying to equalize things. I'm a realist. I know the table will never be level or the field will never be level. But all I want is give me an opportunity, and I love the world of sports, those who know me. How would you know if I could hit a pitch if you never let me in the game? Or you never let me in the stadium? All we want is an opportunity to get in the stadium. And then once we get in the stadium, we need an opportunity to try to play so that we can contribute. And we make great contributions over time. Whether you learned it history way or the way I'm trying to provide it, the history of it. It's very important that we understand that. We have to grow, folks. Again, a lot of people from different cultures learning more about their cultures and they're embracing. They even come and they continue to wear their native costumes, continue to cook their dishes. I've said it 1,000 times. Oftentimes, we as African Americans born in America have no ties to Africa, not even interested in what's going on in Africa. And then the brothers and sisters who come over from Africa to get their degrees, and get a better way of life, sometimes they don't have anything to do with us that were born here. And then they raise their families here, teach their kids their customs and traditions. All we need, folks, is an opportunity to grow. And we grow through knowledge and experiences, and we have to make those things work for us. It's not going to be given to us. We understand that. But the thing is, we have to make sure that we take advantage of every opportunity so that it can benefit us in the long run. A lot of things I'm doing may not benefit me immediately, but it's going to have an effect on my kids, family. You know, we always look for instant gratification. And a lot of times, things that we do, you don't get it right away. It's nice if you could. And when you do get it right away, you know, it's not in all instances that occur. But if you do achieve it, you know, you celebrate it. I've always been one. You never know if I'm super happy or super mad. You know if I'm happy, you know if I'm mad, but super happy. I have this little inner cheer that I have when I really accomplish big things. And nobody knows. I guess you know now because I tell you. I'm in there saying, yes, yes. But you'll never see it outwardly expressed. Sometimes you got to be your biggest cheerleader. That's my thing I'm trying to tell you. So let's work together and make a difference. We have people who had less resources made differences in this country. Now we have a little bit more resources. And let's make it happen. if we can't enjoy it, let's make sure our kids enjoy it. Again, welcome to Andrew's World. We're here live every Sunday, 8 to 10 Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. Had a few hiccups this morning, but we got it done. I appreciate Cheryl Smith always for the opportunity to do this. We're going to be doing some different marketing schemes just to get things going. I know she's been very busy, and I haven't really gotten with her on some things. But, Cheryl, I know you listen during the week, and I need to get with you and try to get some things. I got some ideas, and I'm going to try to implement it, and then I'm going to ask you. I'm trying to make this as painless as possible for you. But I'm indebted to you forever for giving me the opportunity. All right, 1852, Harriet Beecher Stowe, her novels, Uncle Tom's Cabin, is published. It becomes one of the most influential works to stir anti-slavery sentiments. Uncle Tom's Cabin. If you haven't read it, it was something that we read in school years ago. Please read it. Let your kids, they don't even know about Uncle Tom's Cabin. It's important that they get that knowledge. 1854, Congress passes the Kansas-Nebraska Act, establishing territories of Kansas and Nebraska. The legislation repeals the Missouri Compromise of 1820 and reduced tension between anti-slavery and pro-slavery factions. Again, a lot is going on. Let's turn on. People want it, people don't. Now remember, we're working in the center of the country now. So people in that territory are trying to keep slaves. They know what's going on the East Coast as they're trying to eliminate it. And they have reduced it. They never eliminated, but reduced some of the actions. But here, Kansas and Nebraska, through the Missouri Compromise, that we were told in our classroom that we learned. Again, everything you were told, you didn't get all the pieces. It's kind of like going to a 7-course meal. You may get the appetizer, you may get the 2nd course, you may get the 3rd, but you're not getting the 4th and 5th, which is the main thing, then it's incomplete. So we have to be able to get every course of this meal that we're dealing. I will give you appetizers. I will give you your salad. I will give you your meat and potatoes. I'll give you that great dessert. Those are things that are essential for us to survive. Again, how can we move forward if we don't know where we've been? That's a broken record that you're going to hear in a while. Then in 1857, Dred Scott, they had a beautiful oil painting of him. Dred Scott's case holds that Congress does not have the right to ban slavery in states, and furthermore, that slaves are not citizens. Boy, we heard that. Some people think that now. Those days are over. But again, you know what's interesting? Let me just detour. We read about history. We learn the history at times. But it's amazing in 2017 how things are today. We would think that we've made a lot of progress. We have to a certain degree. But the more we progress, the more we regress. Because some of the people, if they had it their way, they wouldn't even be, or we wouldn't even be where we are today. And it's sad. Other cultures come in and they maximize their potentials. You know, they pool their resources. And those are things that we need to do. We need to put trust in one another. And if you know some young men, young women that you trust, then go for it. The sky's the limit. You know, you can't trust everybody. But people that I've had a, as they say, a dealing with, or you know, just that we've had some camaraderie. If I know about you, then, you know, if I give you all the rooms, I'm ready to work. Those are the things. You have to protect your investment, folks. That's the main thing I'm trying to get you to understand. All right. So in 1861, as we move things around, the Confederacy is founded in the Deep South, and the Civil War begins. 1863, President Lincoln issues the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring that all persons held as slaves within the Confederate States are henceforward shall be free. 1863. And then they waited a little while, and then Congress established a Freedom Bureau to protect the rights of newly emancipated blacks. The Civil War ends. Lincoln is assassinated that year. Now, the significance of other things is that the information from 1863 with the Emancipation Proclamation that a lot of people were very upset with Lincoln, and you know how history has it, assassinated for freeing the slaves. Okay? In 1865 as well, we had, I mentioned before, previously, the Civil War ended, Lincoln's assassinated, the KKK is formed in Tennessee by ex-Confederates. Slavery in the United States is effectively ended when 250,000 slaves in Texas finally received the news that the Civil War had ended 2 months earlier. 2 months, and that's 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Came in Galveston. People were working, and then they sold the slaves. They were free. All right, in 1865 through 1866, the black codes were passed by the southern states, drastically restricting the rights of newly freed slaves. Then the following year, in 1867, a series of Reconstruction Acts were passed, carving the former Confederacy into five military districts and guaranteeing the civil rights of free slaves. Again, people trying to make a difference for the slaves of that time. Do they need to have that committee as well? Because, you know, folks, we may enjoy some of the luxuries that we have, but there's always that one face, the neighbor, or somebody that always looking at you, as we say, looking crazy. So, again, we just have to just keep our shoulders square, keep your back straight, stand tall. My grandfather always told me, son, they can never ride your back if you stand tall. So in the midst of all the turmoil, the 45th president, all of us, folks, I encourage you to stand tall. Stand tall and be willing to withstand everything that's tossed at you because you're a target. And times are going to change. And we just have to get patient, be patient just to get through this era. All right. Now, in 1868, things start heating up. The 14th Amendment and the Constitution is ratified, defining citizenship. Individuals born or naturalized in the United States of America are the American citizens, including those born as slaves. This nullifies the Dred Scott case of 1857, which had ruled that blacks were not citizens. So at this point, things are going. It took about 10 years, 11 to be exact, for the Dred Scott case. Then in 1869, Howard's Law School becomes the country's first law school. First. So, yeah, we were making first then. Of course, it was a little bit more prevalent because we're over in our new country. Reconstructions into the South, the federal attempts to provide some basic civil rights of African Americans quickly erodes. That was in 1877. And 2 years later, in 1879, the Black Exodus takes place, in which tens of thousands of African Americans migrated from southern states to Kansas. Then in 1881, Spelman College, the first college for black women in the United States, was founded by Sophia B. Packard and Harriet Childs. Brave women, bringing culture to those young women, young black women there in the city of Atlanta. Then the same year, Booker T. Washington, he founds the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute in Alabama. The school becomes one of the leading schools for higher learning for African Americans. The stresses of that particular application of knowledge. In 1896, George Washington Carver begins teaching, whereas the director of the Department of Agricultural Research gained international reputation for its agricultural advances. Great things happened. You know, I mentioned about George Washington Carver creating a lot of the dyes, doing makeup. You know, it's not Maybelline, it's not CoverGirl, none of those. It was George Washington Carver. Dyes for different colors of ink. So those are things that we have to remember, folks, and I just get so excited. So excited when we have the type of opportunity to give you the real history and not history of things to come. It's about 14 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Andrew's World. Hey, we're going to class. I'm taking you back to class. As always, we got to get the word out. Have your friends call 646-200-0459. Beautiful day in Dallas, Texas. Yesterday was outstanding. I told you this whole month of February, working a brother like a Hebrew worker. And you can put the rest of that one. So February is a tough month. You know, I'm going to try to do a lot of things going on, but I seem to function when I'm busy, function well when I'm busy, but you just don't know. I need to be fair to my body and get the proper rest and eat a lot better. But that's something we all need to do. So all this is going on, Black Exodus, and then in 1896, Plessy versus Ferguson. This was a landmark Supreme Court decision that holds that racial segregation is constitutional, paving the way for the repressive Jim Crow laws that were in the South. You know, we hate to hear about it, but it's part of our fabric. Then, in 1905, W.E.B. Du Bois founds the Niagara Movement, a forerunner of the NAACP. The movement is formed as part of a protest to Booker T. Washington's policy in accommodation to white society. The Niagara Movement embraces the more racial approach, calling for immediate equality in all areas of American life. W.E.B. Du Bois, the National Association of Advancement of Colored People, is founded in New York in 1909. Prominent black and white intellectuals led by W.E.B. Du Bois. The next half century, it will serve as the country's most influential African-American civil rights organization, dedicated to political equality and social justice. In 1910, its journal, The Crisis, was launched in that year. Among its well-known leaders were James Weldon Johnson, does that ring a bell? Lift Every Voice and Sing, Ella Baker, Warfield Story, Walter White, Roy Wilkins, Benjamin Hooks, Beverly Evers Williams, Julian Bond, and Kwesi Mfume. Know your history, folks. Know your history. Again, so much is going on. So much. We'll take a break from your history and just talk about some things that are going on in Washington. You know, every day I look at the TV, I'm like, oh, my God, what else could happen? The chief, the person that was running the security, national security, resigns. Things are just getting off the chain, as the kids were saying, in D.C. The press secretary, who is supposed to be one of the most unflappable people in the world, breaks down. They're really getting on him. And then the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan.
I always talk about how we come along, and I apologize, we went dead for a minute. You know, we talk about how, you know, how can we move forward? All these people are making great things. Great things are happening. And we just want to make sure that we understand what is going on. We can't progress, folks. You got to have a little struggle for progression. And that's what it's all about. Growing, taking the next step. Again, welcome to Andrew's World. So much is going on over the world. I tell you, this morning was a challenge, but we're on the air. That's what it's all about, making a difference in the lives of people that I come in contact with. We have a couple of callers. I know they're probably at church and everything, but, you know, as always, if there's anything you want to put into place on this show, it's your platform as well. All you got to do is press 1, and we'll move forward from that point. You know, we look at things, I don't know, do we look through it through a microscope or do we look through it through a magnifying glass? There's so many cliches, so many little sayings, but how do you see the world? You know, you can't always have blinders on. You have to be a realist and understand the ongoings that are going on around you. Don't be so naive where you just let everything, you be a duck. I'm not saying get out here and start a revolution. But what I want you to do, too, is be able to know the difference between right and wrong, make decisions that are best for your family. That's first of all, that responsibility. And then we move forward. And my thing is not only my family, but I try to make decisions that are right decisions for us. Because people are watching. And you never know the influence that we know the influence that you may have on your family, but other kids that you come in contact with, how much they want to be like Mr. Andrew, how much they want to be like you. The moms, too, you're the same way. It's so important how we carry ourselves. Yeah, there are days I'm hot, hotter than fish grease, but do I allow that to come home? Do I allow that to affect how I work? You know, when I was a director of a department, my thing was you check your attitude like you check your coat. You check your problems like you check your coat. If you put it on a nail, it'll sit there, leave it right there until it's time to go home. Because we don't need you to be counter-reacting. You know, we're working in one direction, you countering everything. It can't work like that. There's a time to fight. There's a time to let it go. You pick and choose your battles in a situation that's best for you. So, again, all this is going on around the world with the Black history. History being made now in Washington. I just can't let it go. 45 is just doing its thing. Again, people just quitting. It's amazing what's going on in Washington. you know, they make a lot of references with President Obama, and they just determined to kill his legacy. And that's fine, because it lets us know how America feels. And not everybody, but we at least know how the ones in Washington feel. Is it that they don't want anything named after the brother? Is it related to health care? It's quite interesting. Sometimes I can't even think of the words to express how I truly feel about this. Again, welcome to Andrew's Workroom. Marcus Garvey, in 1914, establishes the Universal Negro Improvement Association, an influential black nationalist organization to promote the spirit of race pride and created a sense of worldwide unity among blacks. The Harlem Renaissance in the 1920s flourishes in the 1920s and 1930s. This literary, artistic, and intellectual movement fosters a new black culture identity. They went about it a little differently. Here's something a lot of people don't know. In 1931, the Scottsboro Boys, 9 black youths are indicted in Scottsboro, Alabama, on charges of having raped 2 white women. Although the evidence was very slim, the Southern jury sentenced them to death. The Supreme Court overturns their conviction twice. And each time, Alabama retries them, finding them guilty. And in the third trial, 4 of the Scottsboro boys are free, but 5 are sentenced to long-term sentences. 1947, Jackie Robinson broke that barrier. Now, Major League Baseball has been very good. A lot of people are upset with Babe Ruth done this and Babe Ruth done that. But for them to commemorate Jackie has done for baseball. And moms and dads, if you got some kids, grandkids, get them interested in baseball. I'm telling you, Bobby Bonilla right now, they laughed at him when he deferred all his money. He's going to be getting $2 million a year, I think, through 2020. They laugh, but he's smart. Now he still get $2 million a year coming in. So now we're in the 50s. As things come full circle. A lot of the pastors are coming together, forming a coalition. Everything is going on. We get the board versus Brown versus the Board of Education in Topeka, Kansas, declares that racial segregation in school is unconstitutional. 1955, Rosa Parks with the sit-in on the Montgomery bus boycott. So all that is going on during these times. The Little Rock Nine, that's the 9 black students that were not admitted into that school. I tell you, there's so many places, and I run them down as far as African American history. There's one here in Dallas, and they're not bad at all. We go and try to make sure kids participate. You have one in Memphis at the Lorraine Motel, commemorating the death of Dr. Martin Luther King. You go through the museum and end up on the same porch where Dr. King was killed. Harriet Tubman, Cincinnati. Nice ones in Baltimore, D.C. They got a new African-American museum part of the Smithsonian in D.C. So there's a lot to do. Put those on your bucket list. One thing I try to do every time I go out of town, y'all going to laugh. I find Martin Luther King Street, find a greasy spoon. You know, I want to see how we live. And the story pretty much the same wherever you go, but I always like to just see MLK. And I told you, right here in Dallas, Texas, the only place where Malcolm X Boulevard will cross Martin Luther King Street. If your city has it, let me know. So I can say it's two cities. All right. As we move to the 1960s, four black students in Greensboro, North Carolina began to sit in at a segregated Woolworths lunch counter. This was February 1st of that year. 6 months later, the Greensboro Four served lunch at the same counter. This event triggers many similar nonviolent protests throughout the South. All right. James Meredith. Who is James Meredith? In a little town called Oxford, Mississippi, James Meredith becomes the first black student to enroll at the University of Mississippi. President Kennedy sends 5,000 federal troops after a riot broke out. James Meredith. Wow. 1963, Martin Luther King is arrested in jail during the anti-segregation. Okay, again, all this is going on. The history is unfolding. Wow, what a beautiful time, as the old folks used to say, to be colored in America. Things are starting to change. Now, you know, with Kennedy doing all the meetings with Martin Luther King, doing this and doing that, that led, they figured, a lot of people figured that if they had to kill Abraham Lincoln from keeping the slaves inward, then with Kennedy making a plea to change things up, they didn't get an opportunity to even see their good works. So I pay homage, I take my hat off for those individuals during those times that were trying to fight for equality, doing civil rights things that a lot of people, now civil rights were basically built on the backs of our blacks, our African Americans during that time period. And a lot of people do take advantage of it. It is an honor to provide you with this information. It is an honor to read it and understand it, because I did my homework. But it's just so amazing, some of the things I learned a little bit myself. And I get excited. So we want you to be excited as well as we embrace. It's about 26 minutes left of the show. We want you to be a part of it. We'll put the black history down for a minute. Talk about some of the things in Washington. What is your take? If you're able to talk, go ahead and press 1, and we'll see. I apologize for the technical difficulties. My other portal just died on me. Just died. So we'll see as we go how things are going. And I'm still plugged up on one area, looking for another. You know, being in Studio A, those who have seen my studio, can be a little tricky for me, but we're going to make it happen every Sunday morning. It's always something. If the quality dropped, I apologize for that. But for the sports enthusiasts, got the NBA All-Star Game. I didn't see, I recorded everything that went over yesterday with the shake challenge and all the skills and everything. So don't spoil it for me. I'm going to come back and look at that a little bit later. And then the top story there is saying if Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, if they talk, it's a soap opera. They love it. They probably talk on the side. But it's a good tactical ploy for the league because people want to see them play each other. But again, so much is going on. We're moving some troops over in the South China Sea. I'm telling you, something's going to go down. And I'm glad the bloodshed did not have to fall on President Barack Obama's hand. But it's going to be interesting to see how this, everything is a press. We need to sit back and evaluate what the heck is going on. So, again, we're going down to the South China Sea. A president having a rally gives the microphone, and I didn't see the clip yet, gives a microphone to an excited supporter. Now, how often do you get close to the president? This guy's unbelievably close. You know, not often do you see that moving on. But it is what it is. Number 45 doing this thing. If you're working in a pro business building, let me know if they put up any pictures yet. Yeah, just let me know. I see we have our number one supporter on the line. And we thank you so much. I tell you, Cheryl, the devil is busy, and we're just trying to keep things going. But this morning, of course, Black History Month, we're giving you the real history as it relates to African-American history and not relying on his story that we all learned. We're up in the 1950s, 1960s, and we're going to bring you up to current thing. But it's so good to see Cheryl on the line. And Cheryl, you know what to do, so I'm just wanting you to be a part and let the listeners hear you. We haven't heard you in a while, and I know been letting you rest a little bit and kind of taking some of the pressure off a little bit, but I'm always excited and just want you to just chime in if you're able, and we'll take it from there. But we were talking about the National Basketball Association and how these guys are some of the greatest talent ever assembled. They're in New Orleans, Louisiana. The game was originally scheduled for Charlotte, but they were having the issues with the law with the restroom. You know, and that's always the big question. You know, what is the solution for those transgender citizens? What should they do, or what bathroom should they utilize? And one being, should the men that have transferred as Caitlyn Jenner, should she be admitted into a ladies' restroom, or can she go in the men's restroom? Or do you create a family bathroom and let them in? So all of those items that we need to know, and you know we're going to find out. There are a lot of concerns. Abbott, the governor of Texas, came out this week, made some bold statements as it relates to that, and I think it's more political than that of substance. But that's just my opinion, and that's why I'm going to give you my opinion. But things need to be rectified, I think. And all, when it's all said and done, if we provide that potential third bathroom where the family restroom can be utilized for those, because a lot of people do feel uncomfortable And I know these are changes that the men and women have made. But at one point, things were not, I'm talking about their mindset, things were not the way they were are today. So, again, it'd be interesting to see how this transpires over time. Again, welcome to Andrew's World. Don't forget to read your African-American newspapers. We have such a great conglomerate of resources led by our beloved Cheryl Smith, My Eye Messenger, my weekly publication, Garland Journal, as well as the Texas Metro News. They are bi-monthly. So, please, please read. Get the real story. Find out what's going on in your world, just like I'm telling you what's going on in my world. Just so excited to be here. Beautiful weather in Dallas yesterday. The pollen was high, wind was blowing. You could hear it in my voice. But again, there was a lie, and everything that we've gone through this morning, I will continue to talk and talk and talk as much as I have to and will need to do in order to cover this time. It's about 18 minutes towards the hour. And you all just take the time today and go hug somebody. I know as we need to celebrate, create a culture in order to be informed about the things that have shaped our lives. And not only shaped our lives, but part of the American fabric. You know, oftentimes we as African Americans always think that we have no contributions to make. No, you know, as it relates to certain things. We're the cream of the crop. And you're going to have to take that and build upon it. They know, we know, too much history has gone by for them not to know. And again, they tell you what you want to know, but we're going to get it all to you today. All right, the Birmingham jail back in the 60s. Dr. Martin Luther King goes to Birmingham, he's jailed. All because of what happened in Washington previous, all this stuff started unfolding. The March on Washington, Jobs and Freedom, attended by 250,000 people, the largest demonstration ever to be seen at the national capital. The Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivers his famous speech, and I didn't read it. I Have a Dream, because they said that's not the name of the speech. All right, so all of this is going on. We're breaking ground despite George Wallace, you know, physically blocking the way, you know, things started to change. Probably not the way they liked it, but again, started to change. 1965, Malcolm X, black nationalist and founder of the organization of African American Unity. It's unbelievable of the things that, you know, you always get a negative spill on Malcolm X. But he was like any leader. A lot of people did not approve to his tactics. And at times, even when he had a softer stance, it didn't work either. So, you know what? My message to those who lead, you lead for all the right reasons and you will find a follower. You would, again, find a follower. So all this is going on. You get, you know, bridge on a Pettus Bridge that walked. We commemorated that. It's been 55 years now. Excuse me, 53 years now. And I love Cheryl Smith was there covering in Selma. They had a nice movie come out. You know, again, folks, we got to embrace our past. There's so much history out there. You may not learn it in school, but we're going to make sure you get a piece of the pie with us. It's your world. And there's another part of that. It's Sunday morning. I dare not say it. It's people say it all the time, but I'll try to refrain from that one. So we got just so much going on, folks. And this, teach your history. Teach your kids. Sit down. Things I've given you today, teach them to your kids. If you don't know much Black history, then you sit down with a kid on your kids online and read to them and make sure that they get the understanding about their heritage. I'm telling you, all the other cultures are doing it. They're putting the natural costumes on the little ones, and they're starting to feel it. And over time, they're going to be the ones teaching, passing the traditions. The only tradition that I know that we pass, and it's pretty much in every household, is when it comes to New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, or eating black eyed peas, eating greens for money, peas for luck. You know, is there anything dealing with turkey or ham? But I'm telling you, everybody trying to eat up all the black eyed peas, trying to eat up all the greens, want to eat all the money they can get. You heard us say, eat all the money they can get. And that's what it's all about. Again, get the real story, and I'm giving you play-by-play, blow-by-blow of what it's all about. So, again, all this is going on. The Civil Rights Act, 1965. Making it easier for Southern blacks to register to vote. Literacy tests, poll tax, and other such requirements are used to restrict black voting are now made illegal. And you look at some of the ones, you look at with the Selma and people taking the test, trying to vote, people provide the answers, and they never look at the test. Just say, nope, you missed everything. You try to retake the test, they go to lunch. You know, it just wasn't the men. The women were kind of jacked up as well during that era. And I applaud everyone that's still alive with us today that went through the struggles of the civil rights, because a lot of brothers and sisters lost their lives. But, you know, I always ask my dad, but why are you still here? And, you know, as a young man, I'm very inquisitive then, probably more so than I am now. But, boy, it was really heavy then. You know, why were you not dead? Or I didn't quite dress it up like that, but how are you able to survive? And others have left. And my dad always said, you know, I had a family. And I stood for what I believed in. But my responsibility was to get back and help raise you guys. So that was essential in my life. And I think it's so important for others to remember. You know, during this time, too, with assassinations of 1965, and, you know, voting rights, Watts burning down. You know, it's always interesting how things going. 1966, the Black Party with Bobby Steele and Huey Newton was coming into fruition. Now, they always get a bad rep, but some of the things that they talk about, well, the things they talk about, the things and how they react, it's always, always at the very top. But we look at the Black Panthers, we look at what was going on with Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, Stokely Carmichael, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC. So all this was going on. Now you take all the HBCUs, as now, you know, we just started integrating at the early turn of the decade. But a lot of our HBCUs were very involved in the process. And let's not let their work go in vain. Because again, we are a proud group of people. Now, everybody's out on the same level that we understand. But what we try to do is provide you with an opportunity to go and worship and fellowship and break bread, whatever term you want to use. But we've got to sit down and have some dialogue, folks. Got to have some dialogue. And I know Cheryl is running some good things. In June, we're going to have the bowl-a-thon. Not quite sure when she's going to do the thing again, and I can't wait. I'm going to try to add something to it. I'm working on it now. I don't have it yet, Cheryl, but maybe we can do some breathing tests to give people a preliminary idea of what could be going on. So that's something I'm working on to try to enhance what you've already started. Again, we've got about 8 minutes left for the broadcast. You know, let me just start thanking you so much for just being a part of Andrew's World. You know, making it possible for me to just step on in and do what I have to do. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. A little dead air there, Cheryl. Oh, I had another thought. We'll go through it. But again, as we evolve, we look at the slave trade. We look at W.E.B. Du Bois. We look at Carter G. Woodson with Harriet Tubman. All these people, their contributions early. And then we make our way back. So, again, I am just truly honored to have Ms. Smith on. I wish you would just give me just a little bit. But, Cheryl, we love you. A lot is going on. I want to send my condolences this morning to Shirley Chapman, who lost her son last week, funeralized him on yesterday, Christian Chapman. I got a chance to view the body on Friday. I told you, it's just ripping and running. It is February. Cheryl, know how it is. It's when you're high demand for the month. But such a sad case where a young man was incarcerated, been out about 6 months or so. I can't speculate what may have transpired, all this stuff. But, you know, I think about as a kid, if anything, you thought about burying your parents. But it's got to be a heck of a blow if the parent is burying the kid. And I want to send their prayers, my love, to the family, Chapman family. Mother and father came up from down, should I say, from Virginia, Hampton area, in support. But it's, you know, interesting what's going on, and nobody's immune from anything. So that's why I'm trying to do what I can, when I can, to make a difference in your life. Because next week is not promised to me. But I want to make sure while I have breath in this body, be able to tell you something that you can go forward with. So, again, so much is going on. Enjoy the basketball game today. You know, we just got out of the Super Bowl, still some things. I want to know, did they find Tom Brown's? Tom Brown. that music on my mind, Cheryl. Tom Brady's jersey. If it's still missing, it was one of the either security people or probably a teammate that's going to try to sell this particular thing. So, again, thank you for being you and allowing me to be me. We're going to have to coin that phrase. And Cheryl, my theme song, if you get a chance, got to get the people what they want. So if you can load that, I would like to just kind of rock with that a little bit. You know, it's just such a pleasure to come before you. We got another week in this month, and it ends on the 28th. So we'll try to get you up with some more Black history. And like I told you, we're going to continue to give it throughout the year. So I got to remember to, I got all kind of notes, just give you tidbits. I got enough for every Sunday from here on out. But I encourage you, get out there and read. Read. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Another good news story that I have for you, and sure you will love this. A young lady I met a couple of summers ago expressed an interest in FAMU. And she texted me last week, midweek, telling me she was crying and everything. joyful cry to tell me that she was accepted into FAMU. And I was so excited about it. And I'm excited about all the kids that have gone from the Texas area to Tallahassee. I want to say good morning to Zip Summers, who's down there for a basketball reunion. And Cheryl, next week, CJ, I'll get more information. It's supposed to be within the weeks to come. CJ is coming to the Dallas area. And it'll be good. You see some old Rattlers, some Rattlers that have gone on and done great things, not only for themselves, but for the university. And Cheryl, we put you right there. Great things that you're doing. Great things for the university. Great things for yourself. The citizens of Dallas, citizens of Texas, citizens of this great United States, citizens globally. And we thank you. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. But we do things like that for the betterment of mankind. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So, again, thank you for being a part as we wind things down. Part of getting the real history and not his story that we've been taught. Take the information, provide it to your kids. I encourage you to do that because, again, these kids don't have no idea of what has transpired in their lives. They don't. And they just need to be a part of that train that's coming. And with that train that's coming, we got to make sure that we have our ticket and get on board. Because if you miss that ticket, as that song said, I feel sorry for you. Folks, we got to wake up. As Vincent Hall would say, you got to quit playing. Stop playing. And realize the importance of our existence in this country and things that we've done in order to make a difference in the lives of all mankind on this side of the dirt. So we thank you again for just participating. Thank you for being the best people in the world. Thank you for just being yourself. And I thank you for just supporting me and supporting the show. We got to do better. We will do better, but it's only with your help. So make sure you tell your friends 646-200-0459 every Sunday morning, 8 to 10, 9-11 Central Time. I know we had some callers from some other states, which is outstanding. And we let you know what is transpiring to get things accomplished. It is what it is. That's how the old man used to tell us in the neighborhood. So, again, we'll do this again next week. We'll finish out the Black History Month, letting you know some things, going back over some firsts, even in 2017. There's some firsts of things for African-American people. Keep an eye on 45. You know, I never say his name, Cheryl, but it's number 45 as far as our president. I mean, it's a major shakeup. There are a lot of people are backtracking. You know, I wouldn't have a problem with him, but he's very brash. And I just call it like I see it. And he needs to have a little bit more diplomacy in his approach. Will we get that? I don't know. 2 years are not coming quick enough for midterms so we can actually get a feel of what is going on. By getting some people in there, your constituents that support the same cause. So that's a whole nother show. Whole nother show. And we just thank you so much for being a part. On behalf of the iMessenger Enterprises, led by Cheryl Smith, with my iMessenger, Texas Metro News, and the Garland Journal, this is Andrew's World. We'll see you next week. Much love to you all. I'm out of here.